Greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is good to be back. 2 days ago, we returned from Chiang Rai to help some of the issues in Bethel Development Center after the passing of Elder Charlo. We need to encourage the three young people as well as to deal with some issues that has arisen. Thank God for His mercy and His grace in helping us resolve the matter. Before that, thank God for the ministry of the word in Nairobi. The battle is everywhere. The problems are everywhere. As long as the word of God is proclaimed, as long as there are children of God doing the work of God, Satan will never leave his people alone. The battle is our title. The battle that Gideon fought, it's the same kind of battle that we fight every moment of every day. Not with swords or shield, not with the shedding of blood, but always in the spiritual realm. Why was the battles of Israel so significant and important? What's so different and special concerning Israel's battles and the battles that we read in man's history? There are battles that are still being fought today in some countries. Where we came from in Nairobi, Reverend Kim and Reverend Evan Yoon drove me by to the shopping center, Westgate. There was attacked, 67 people died, it was boarded up, but there were bullet holes on the walls all over the building. Third floor and fourth floor collapsed because of the bombing. The battle is still very real in some parts of the world as far as guns and bombs are concerned. But why is the battle of Israel special? The battle is not special. It's still against the enemies of flesh and blood. But the battle is special because Israel has always been special. Israel was the only nation in the world that God designed and gave birth to directly, by his own hand. The purpose that through Israel the Messiah would come. Not any other nations. All the nations of the world originated from man. Man's heart, man's desire, man's goals, man's purposes. But Israel has a spiritual purpose that no other nation of the world had. And that's why when Israel comes under subjugation by the enemies, it is as if the spiritual light of Israel had been turned off. That Israel has ceased to bear the light of Christ that the world may find salvation through her testimony and her witness. And that's why when Israel repented of her sin, God sent Gideon, the judge, to deliver Israel so that Israel's spiritual light can shine once more. And that was why God had to be involved in this battle. For Israel was the only Christian nation. America is not a Christian nation. Please don't ever think that, because if you think that and say that, you are basically suggesting something that is most unbiblical. God did not replace the nation of Israel with another nation. The Bible made it very clear that God replaced the Christian nation of Israel with the church. You can see this in the book of Acts. The theological arguments are found in Romans chapter 9 and 10. So it is not the replacement of one nation with another nation as witnesses on this earth. And that is why the battle that Gideon fought is the same kind of battle that we are fighting today as a church. Because, remember, once you are saved, you cannot lose your salvation. So the battle is not about you losing your salvation. The battle is the believer losing his testimony, his witness at home, in school, in the workplace, everywhere he goes. Satan loves to destroy the believer's testimony. That is where the battle lies. He knows he cannot take you out of God's hands. The moment you are born again, the moment you are truly saved, the Spirit of God who indwells us is the seal, the guarantee that you will never, never, ever lose your salvation for eternity. Nothing can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Satan knows that. It is recorded in Holy Scriptures, Romans chapter 8.
And so what is the battle all about? The battle is this flesh of ours. Because the witness and the testimony is visible to the naked eyes. The eyes of the world, they can't see our spirit. They can't see the Holy Spirit living in us. They can't see that we are children of God. We are made no different from the rest of the world. There is no aura, there is no glow, there is no halo around every saint. We look like any other ordinary person on planet Earth. So what exactly are we supposed to do that the people are supposed to see Christ in us? It has to be our lives. It has to be our dressing. It has to be the words that we speak that they can hear. And that's exactly where the battle lies. He will try his best to destroy our testimony. So what weapons will he use? Persecution. Threats. Threats of lawsuit. Threats of losing your job. Threat of losing your health. Threat of losing your freedom. Threat of losing your life. You can find this throughout the history of the church. And he has tried every method. You recant of believing in Christ, you get out of prison immediately. You say Jesus Christ is no longer your Lord and your Savior, we will take you out of the stake and you will not be burned. If you hold on to Christ, we will strangle you and we will burn you to death. All you need to do is say, no more Jesus, and your life will be spared. That has always been the battle cry as far as the persecution of believers is concerned. The others, perhaps even more deadly, is seduction. Persecution hurts our body, take away our loved ones. But seduction is more subtle because it is very alluring. It is very appealing. And so your promotion and your jobs, that is what he's going to do. Because he knows that if they are so busy working, and just simply flood them with lots of money, they'll be so busy getting money, they will have no time to serve the Lord. And then when you look at their lives, they're no different from their unbelieving colleagues because they have been sucked in. Seduction. That's the battle. Seduction, persecution. The good life, the comfortable life that this body is very attracted to. We all love comfort. We don't like to suffer. We don't like the inconvenience of sweat and perspiration. So we have an air-conditioned building. We have air-conditioned cars. We try our best to make this body very comfortable. But will we be prepared to accept discomfort and no luxury for the sake of Christ without compromising our Christian morals and ethics, but to hold on to Christian principles according to the Scriptures, even if it means losing my job, even if it means no luxury? You can keep your expensive cars, you can keep your big salary and your big bonuses, not interested in your promotion. All I want is to maintain my witness and my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether these things come or do not come, I don't care. Is that your heart? Is that how you are preparing yourself for battle? Because the battle is every moment of every day. From the moment you wake up in your home, the battle begins. Right up to the last moment of the day when you lay down to sleep, then the battle ceases. As far as you're concerned, but the battle continues as far as God is concerned because God never slumbers. And then you wake up the next morning, if God gives you an additional day, the battle begins. How long will it last? Until the Lord calls you home. As long as you are breathing, the battle is real. So three things you have to learn from this episode in Gideon's life. The first thing we have to realize is that the battle is the Lord's. It cannot be our own battle. That means you have to be a believer. If you are not a believer, you are not a Christian, you are not a child of God, you are completely oblivious of what we are talking about. Because when a person is dead in sin, the person can't see the spiritual realm. And when he can't see the spiritual realm, he thinks life equals the accumulation of as much wealth as I possibly could. That's for somebody who is an unbeliever, that's all he cares about. If that is all you care about right now, either you are a very disobedient, wayward, and ignorant believer, or you are not born again. Either way, it's not good for you. Because if you are a genuinely born again believer, and all you care about is, and you think that success, victory means, I am a very rich, I have all the accolades of the world after my name, then you are really a very disobedient believer. Then you don't understand what success is in the eyes of your Heavenly Father. It is not in the accumulation of the things that you have on this earth, but your walk and your relationship with the Lord. And you don't even know that you have been a casualty in this battle that God has given to you. The battle is the Lord's. That's what it says in verse 36, isn't it? Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, as thou hast said. You have to remember, as God has said. It's found in God's word. It's not what the church has said. It's not what Gideon just woke up one day, nothing better to do. Let me deliver Israel. It's not what Gideon says. You have said so, Lord. And that's where I am right now. Because you said so. Otherwise, I will be happy doing something in my father's house. Because you say so. That's why I'm coming before you right now on the brink of attacking an army whose size is huge. You'll find from Judges chapter 8 verse 10 that there's enemies that Gideon was about to confront numbered 135,000. That's a big number, isn't it? 135,000 soldiers. And that's why Gideon said to the Lord, as you have said, if you did not say so, let's forget it. Because God says so. We don't go out and be troublemakers. As you have said, that means as long as you live a holy life, as long as you are suffering for Christ, there are some people who are so blind that they do something wrong. They attack the word of God. And then when they are being dealt with, when they are being disciplined, they say that I'm suffering for Christ. You're not suffering for Christ. You're suffering for sin committed. Then you cannot say that this is the battle for the Lord. You are not. You have been a casualty. You are completely oblivious that whatever you do that is not according to the word of God and you are suffering for, you're being punished for it, it is not suffering for Christ. You've got to ask yourself that question first. If where you are right now is not in accordance to God's will, you better stop him and get out of it. If you are where you are in that school, in that workplace, according to the will of God, then and you live a holy life testifying for Christ, then you are where the Lord wants you to be. And you know, as you hold on to the morality and the ethics according to Holy Scriptures, the battle is indeed the Lord's. Don't deceive yourself. Make sure that you know that the battle you are fighting right now is the Lord's. If you are having a problem with your lungs, and the doctor says you are asthmatic, and then you have been smoking, don't say that this sickness has been put there by Satan. This sickness is put there because you have been smoking still. You go to the casino, you gamble, and then now you do not have money. I'm suffering for Christ because I don't have money to pay for my children's education. Don't you dare use the name of God in vain. You have lost all the money because of your terrible sin and addiction to gambling. You drink, and you lose your testimony, and you do stupid and foolish things. You drive and you got caught drink driving. Don't say that the police, they are persecuting you. You are suffering for Christ. You are not suffering for Christ. You are suffering because you have committed a sin and a crime. And you deserve to go to jail for what you have done wrong. Or pay the fine if that is the judgment of the courts. Make sure you know that the battle is the Lord. Not because of the sin that you have committed. Gideon did not commit any sin at this juncture. Or he will at the end of his life, sad to say. But not at this point in his life. He was an obedient, albeit a man of weak faith, a man of little faith. Can't blame him. because he was the peer of judges, where the majority of Israelites did what was right in their own eyes. That means the word of God, the laws of God were completely disobeyed, disregarded. They don't care for what is right and what is wrong. As long as it's suitable, it's beneficial to me, I'll do it. You're trying to stop me, I'll beat you up. That's what it means, that everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. And please don't think that that belongs only to the period of judges, and we are not living that kind of life today. As long as you are doing the same thing today, then you are in your world living the life of the period of judges. But you just do what is right in your own eyes. That's exactly what the world is doing. Now, we're not talking about the world in the Bible. We're talking about the world of Israel. Israel has the word of God. Israel is not supposed to live this way. The world is supposed to be characterized by everyone will do what is right in their own eyes because they don't have God's word. They don't have the absolute standard of God's commandments. Israel had God's word and God's absolute rule of his commandments. They have no right to do what was right in their own eyes. The world can because they don't have the word of God. Israel is supposed to be the light. Israel is not supposed to do that, and that's why the church is not supposed to do that, and the church is not this building. It is not the address 201 Pandan Gardens. The church is you, the people. Everywhere you go, you are the church. Your life, your testimony, the people of this congregation. As a church, we try our best on paper to be as biblical, as sound, as conservative, as fundamental as we can, according to the fundamental doctrines of the faith. But it's only on pieces of paper. It means nothing to God if what we put down on our constitution is not embraced and practiced and lived out and believed by God's people. Because God wants to see your life and my life. To make sure that they are in the will of God so that when you are under persecution, you are under seduction, the battle is heating up. The battle is on. The battle is the Lord's. If only you are living a life of obedience, a life of holiness. That's what it means. If you have sinned, if you are in sin, please repent immediately and make right with God because you're already a casualty. Gideon was not a casualty at this juncture. If you are a casualty, you fix it, get it right. Immediately repent and ask the Lord to forgive you right now. And if you have been living a life of obedience. What life of obedience? Every area of your life. No exception. If you are still married, husband-wife relationship, let it be God-honoring. You have to do your part. If you are not married, you can't, because that area of your life is not yours. You don't have it. If you are a grandparent, then be a godly grandparent. You never were a grandparent until you became one, right? So that's another area that you have to make sure that is glorifying to God. Your parents are still alive, then you be a godly son and daughter. For some of us, our parents are no longer on earth. We can't. But if you are a parent, you have children, then you be a godly parent to your children, bringing them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord instead of just wishing all over the world and traveling here, traveling there, and just simply buy back food and clothing. That is not parenting. That is doing the work of the government. The government's duty is to put food on the table and to make sure that the economy is healthy. If you think that your duty is to make sure that the economy of your family is fine and good, then you are like the government. You are a Christian. The spiritual dimension, the spiritual impact that you have in the lives of your children must always be present and non-stop. Is that what you are doing? Friends, how is your witness and testimony in your workplace? Don't be a hypocrite that some people who are so well behaved in church, but they are horrible in the workplace. They are two-timers, and all they care about is how to make money and how to tell lies and how to do all kinds of terrible things just like their unbelieving colleagues. Why do you think God tells us that if you want to choose an elder, make sure that his testimony without, that is outside, is just the same as his testimony in the church? No area of your life is neglected, because every area of your life must be in the will of God. That is why parents pray with your children before you choose your primary school, so that when your child enters the primary school, the child knows that we have prayed for this primary school and God has placed you in this primary school, so that when, not if, when your child faces problems in school, and they will, bullies, difficult teachers who are not very competent, teachers that are boring, dowsville, and all kinds of stuff. The child comes home, I don't want to go to school anymore, I don't like this bullying, all kinds of problems. Then you remind your child, we have prayed, have we not? And God has chosen this school for us. And therefore, God makes no mistakes. And so God knows that your faith, together with mommy and daddy's prayer, your prayer, God will see you through, and you will see the hand of God in your life, even at this tender age. You don't pray with them, problems come, let's change school. You think no school, you think there will be a school on earth that will have no problems? Yeah, there will be one school that will have no problems, you're the only student. Nobody else, even you alone, you will be the problem. Isn't that true? Everywhere there will be problems, you cannot keep on changing school, because the battle is the Lord's, you are right. But the battle is also man's. There is the human responsibility part that you have to take into consideration. And that's exactly what you and I find from verse 37 to verse 40. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, by my hand, you see, by my hand. God has to guide Gideon. Gideon has to know, God, you sure you have chosen me? He has to make sure, you see. First, God's will, as thou hast said, I'm prepared to do it, but are you sure it's me? Now, we're not talking about going on a church camp. Gideon is going to rally other Israelites from different tribes, and he wanted them to trust him with their lives. He is bringing fathers, sons into battle, and if he is not the one chosen by God, they will come back dead, or they will not come back alive. So it is not a game. That's why Gideon has to make sure that he is the one chosen by God. And that's why the battle is ours. You have to make sure that where you are serving is really where God wants you to be. If that's not where God wants you to be, you better get out and find out from God where God wants you to serve. You must know your gift. You must know your calling. You don't just simply go in there because you want, what, I don't know, fame, recognition, stupid thing to do. There are some people who like to stand behind the pulpit. I do not know why. They like people to what? See that this person is up there? What's so great about standing up there is not for the calling and the responsibility. Sometimes I wish God never called me to be pastor. All I want to do, Lord, is to stay somewhere in a nook in a corner when nobody knows me. I just want to study God's word, and that's all. That's all I wanted to do when I first went into full-time ministry. That's what I said to the Lord. Just put me somewhere in the corner, bury me somewhere. Nobody needs to know who I am. Just put me somewhere. Just study God. That's all I want. Just want to study God's word. That's all. If he never called me to be a pastor, I don't want to be a pastor, because it is one of the most difficult ministries in the world. I have my own family problems. And because you're the pastor, every member's problem is your problem. You cannot say to them, sorry, not available. You can't. You carry the weight of the whole church, every life, onto your shoulder. Why? Because you know that one day you'll stand before God and give an account of how you have looked after God's children. Because you are not just numbers. You are sons and daughters of God Most High, whom he redeemed not with gold, not with silver, but with Christ's precious blood, each and every one of you. You are God's children. And therefore, if I ruin your life, if I hurt you, I mess up your mind, if I don't teach you God's word properly, I answer to God one day, and I don't want to hear from him say that I have failed him. That's why he has never called me. I don't want to be a pastor. I want to run far, far away. Nairobi is one place. Far, far away. Really. Far, far away. But I can't. There's so much work to do in Nairobi and then Rwanda and then Tanzania. Reverend Kim, before I left, said, when are you coming back? I said, God willing. Yeah, you know God is willing, but are you willing? I wish to run far, far away. But I know I can't. This is where God has called me. And this is where I will stay unless next election I don't get elected, I'm also okay. Then I can tell the Lord I did not quit.
the people, they don't want me. It's okay. Then I move on. I serve somewhere else. No hard feelings. Don't worry, okay?
So next year, if you find that I'm a terrible pastor, please don't vote me. Okay? Please don't. I'm okay. All right? I know I have my shortcomings. We are not perfect. Do you find that I should not be a pastor? Please don't vote. No hard feelings. Don't vote because of relationship or personal. You check the Bible. What are the qualifications? And if I don't have them, please don't vote. It's okay. All right? Find somebody else who you think will be a better pastor to take care of your spiritual life. It's okay. Okay? Don't worry. This is what it's all about. Human responsibility. The battle is the Lord's, but the battle is also mine. That's why Gideon has to find the Lord. Am I the one? I'm going to call our sons and fathers from your people. And I'm going to rally them to follow me, to lead them in battle against the Midianites. And they number 135,000 strong. And they are fighting men, and they are powerful men. Are you sure you want me to do this? Or am I really the person that you chose? He had to find out. And that's why he needed this. Now you may ask, why did he go to the priest? Why did he just go to the word of God? Because the priest has the word of God. Now remember, Gideon doesn't have the word of God. They don't carry the Bible the way that we carry, because the Bible were all hand copied. And it is so expensive. The only people in Israel who had the word of God, who protected as guardians of God's word, were the Levites and the priests. Gideon was just an ordinary Israelite. They don't have the word of God other than what the priest taught them, and they could memorize and can carry with them in their minds. And when the priest failed Israel, when the priest have not been teaching God's word, Gideon basically have no knowledge of God, so they can't just simply turn to any chapter or book or verse of the Bible. They don't have this honor and privilege that we have today. And that's why he did what he had to do. He had to find out for a certainty, Lord, am I really the one? Because it is scary. Alright, you have to go out and fight and kill people, and they get killed in the process. And it was so, for he rose up the next morning, and God answered him exactly as he requested. Alright, and then he squeezed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. The fleece was wet, the surrounding area was dry. And then, scared, okay, he's still very frightened, nervous. Maybe, just one more for confirmation. Let thy anger not be hot against me, and I will speak but one more time. Let me prove, let me test, let me make sure, I pray thee. But this once with the fleece, let it now be dry upon the fleece, and everywhere dew. Which is harder, isn't it? Everywhere dry, the fleece wet. Soaking wet. And now he reversed the whole process, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and everywhere was dew, wet. Gideon had to know in his heart of hearts that this is where God wanted me to be. I can't tell you the number of times I want to quit Calvary Pandan. Too many. I've really written my letter of resignation. Actually, it's in my computer. I did not send it out at all. The problems, the struggles, the difficulties that you have to struggle alone. Even my wife, the closest friend on earth, could not understand. Can't share with her because it's inside your soul. To stay, not to stay, is to leave, not to leave. The battles for the past 20 odd years. Inside your soul. And sometimes when you're studying, the studies can be so onerous and so difficult that you want to cry and throw in the towel, and then God will bring to remembrance your calling, and then you repent of your sin, and then you pick up your pieces, and then you continue trusting in the Lord. Don't trust in your own strength. And then inside the ministry, you face a host of problems you can't even describe and imagine. That's why to know for certainty where God wants you to serve and as what in that area, very, very important. Because you're going to be buffeted and you don't want to fail the Lord. First thing, you don't want to be somewhere where God doesn't want you to be. And if you know once God wants you to be there, Satan will try his best to move you, destroy you, and to pull you away. And that's where the battle comes, isn't it? And that's exactly what he wanted to do. And Gideon, he wanted to make sure that this was where God wanted him to be, to lead an army against the Midianites. So the battle is the Lord's. Never forget that. Number two, the battle is man.
God's children, you. Find out where God wants you to serve. Find out what your gift is, and then you serve faithfully. Don't be found in somewhere where you are not gifted, because you're going to ruin, you're going to hurt people's life. Imagine if I, as a pastor, insist every fourth Sunday I will play the piano for all of you. I insist, I'm the pastor, I pull rank. So I sit down there. You know, I don't even know how to play. I just bang a boom, 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 boom. The worst the sound people can do is turn off the mic. Right? But I want to bang. I want to play. I don't care. So what are you going to do? You're going to pull me away? You're going to stop me? You're going to have a promotion? So the elders, what are you going to do? You're going to discipline me? Sack me? I want to play. You know how terrible that is, right? I just keep on banging. The worst case scenario is the singing will become awful, right? That's the worst case scenario. You all will sing horribly because I will make a mess and you don't know where you're going to go. The timing all will be off. Imagine in the spiritual realm, in the teaching ministry, someone who is not called to preach or teach, and he insists on preaching and teaching, no matter what, by hope or by hope, I must be a teacher, I must be a preacher. You know the damage? God did not give us a warning. Be ye not many piano players, for greater is the condemnation. James chapter 3 verse 1. But he gave James chapter 3 verse 1. Be ye not many teachers, for greater is your condemnation. When I play the piano, I ruin your singing. When you are not called to teach and to preach, and you insist on preaching and teaching, and you don't prepare, and your understanding of the word of God is so horrendous, you ruin people's lives. And you are very convincing in your delivery, in convincing someone how wrong right is. Because if you are very convincing, you have the gift of the gap, and your content is against the teaching of God, so you are very convincing in teaching error, and people are convinced you ruin many lives. If you are dull and you are bored, every time you open your mouth, people snore, people sleep. Then even if you teach wrong things, nobody listens, damage not so bad. But if you are good, and you are very dynamic, you are very charismatic in your delivery, and your teaching is not according to scriptures, but according to your own ideas, you are dangerous. You are a very dangerous person. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is ours. Make sure of your calling. Make sure of your gift. And be there till the Lord says otherwise. Don't move from it. Don't quit. Keep on serving, keep on teaching, keep on wherever God wants you to serve. You don't stop until health does not permit it anymore, and that is God's way of telling you, now is time to do something else, something less strenuous, something where your physical ailment will not be a hindrance anymore. There still are areas to serve. Lower, diminished capacity, understandable, because this body of ours is not going to last forever. This body of ours will grow weak with time. As long as the Lord gives you strength, you persevere. Don't compare. Well, others are not serving. Never mind about others. You are not others. You are you. You remain faithful. And finally, from verse 1 to 8 of chapter 7, the battle is the Lord's, the battle is man's, and the battle is spiritual. You see, and Jerubbaal, that is the name of Gideon, who is Gideon, and all the people that were within Gideon's name, you know what it means, right? It means warrior, or it could also mean hewer, H-E-W-E-R. Hewer of wood, that's the root word. Someone who chop wood. The root word is where you get the word Gideon. Jerubbaal, or Gideon, and all the people that were with him, they rose up early, so now that he's confident, God has called me, let's go! And so he managed to convince the people, let us go and fight against the Midianites and deliver Israel. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many. Too many. How many? 32,000. You find this in verse 3. 22,000 plus 10,000. So total 32,000. Now if there were 135,000, ratio would be one Israelite fight against four Midianites. Slightly more than 4.2. Right? If you divide. 135,000 divided by 32,000. You get 1:4.2. And so God said, too many. Why? Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. That is the problem. That is the danger. The faith of the Israelites was so weak,
so small that even with the ratio of 1:4, 1 Israelite killed 4 Midianites. God said the Israelites might become so bold, and you think that it is because of me that I'm able to defeat the Midianites. God says, no, they must understand that the battle is spiritual. It is me, God, who is fighting them, fighting for them. And when Israel wins, they must give glory to God, their faith and their trust in God must increase in the process. That is where the real battle is. Your faith and your trust in God must be strengthened in the process. Not just getting the thing done. If you can get the thing done without growing in faith and trust in God, you have failed. Getting the thing done is the easy part. Seeing the hand of God, trusting in Him more through the battle is where the real battle lies. And God said to Gideon, too many, cut them down. How to remove them? Well, tell those who are fearful and afraid, let them go home. We don't need those who are fearful and afraid. And so the people returned, 20 and 2,000 in verse 3, and left 10,000. So isn't that good? 10,000 versus 135,000 ratio, 1:13.5. So one Israelite fight against 13 people, isn't that a good enough statistics whereby Israel will see God's hand? God is still not good enough. That's how weak their faith was. Have you ever fought before? Fighting. 1:1? 1:4? 1:13? You just imagine, right? I mean, we are not fighting. I mean, the only time that I fought when I was a small boy. In school, somebody beat up my younger brother. I beat the fellow up and then I got caned. That's the only fighting. I mean, in the army, a little bit here and there, you know, as an unbeliever. You fight a bit. But you and I know that fighting is no joke, isn't it? 1:1 is really bad enough. 1:4 is really a nightmare. 1:13.5, that's a terrible odds. But God said, even one Israelite versus 13.5 Midianites, you will still not be able to see the hand of God. And so God said to Gideon, still too many. Still too many. The ratio must be so ridiculous that Israel will have no choice but to see the hand of God. And so God asked Gideon to go and test the people. And the Lord said to Gideon, alright, the people are still too many. Ask them to go down and drink. Okay, and lo and behold, this was the scenario. Verse 4b, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whosoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And so he brought the people to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, right, everyone that leapeth of the water with his tongue as a dog leapeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bow down and needs to drink, the number of them that leapeth, 300. And the rest, send them home. So now you have 300 ratio versus 135,000. 1:450, right? You don't need to be a mathematical genius. 135 divided by 3. Cancel out 2 zeros. 1:450 soldiers. Imagine 450. That means everyone who sitteth down below 450. That's fine. You and me. All of you. Who will I run? Look, how many are 450, right? Around there. And then you just charge at me. I run. How to fight? You just imagine, and you're not old man, you know, there's some women, there's some old men, or so I get scared. True? I mean, 1:450, this size. You mean the faith of Israel was so weak that God has to use a ratio of 450:1 so that when God gives Israel the victory, Israel will know, this is God's work. You know how terrible that is? But that was the state of Israel's spirituality. That was the problem. That was where the real battle is. The battle is spiritual, and God has to teach them the spiritual battle. And many of us don't see that. We see our spouses giving us nightmare, our problem. We can't see beyond the flesh and blood, and that's our problem. And so maybe that's what we need. That kind of stupendous ratio before we can see the hand of God. And as long as you and I don't see the hand of God, we will hold on to our murmurings and our complainings, and we'll make excuses and we'll point fingers. That's our problem. The battle is never flesh and blood. When will we ever see this? When will we ever acknowledge this? Choosing a school for your child in primary school or whatever level is a spiritual problem. Pray, what to pray for? Well, pray like this. That God will choose a school where your child may grow in grace and the knowledge of God. where your child's testimony in the school may bring blessing to someone, that someone may come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ through the witness and testimony of your child. Isn't that the way? Or you stop praying, must get A. What for? What's the point of getting A's on pieces of paper when you're F in your spiritual life? Siblings, problems, quarrels, selfishness. I want it my way. Irritates me all the time. My sister irritates me. My brother irritates me. It's a spiritual problem. The problem is not your sister or your brother. The problem is you. Your walk with God is not close. Your love for the Lord is absent. That's why you react and respond in such a carnal manner. Husband-wife relationship is the same thing. When the wife doesn't want to submit to the husband, oh, you'll find a host of excuses. He doesn't love me, why do I submit? Did the Bible that say you love him, then you submit? The Bible says his wife submit to your own husband as unto the Lord, who stop. They didn't say submit only to nice husband, submit only to Christian husband, submit only to what? Husband. Who chose your husband for you? God did. Oh, yeah, you did, but God was the one who chose him for you. Likewise, the other way around. The spiritual problem is not flesh and blood. When are we going to see this? Israel could not, and that's why God has to give them this stupendous, impossible ratio so that Israel will see it is not flesh and blood. It is not Israel fighting the Midianites. It is God through Israel fighting against the Midianites whom Satan has used to drown out, snuff out the testimony of Israel in this world that require spiritual light. That is where the battle is. It is always spiritual because you are spiritual. Unless you're not born again, then everything stops. But if you're truly born again, it is a spiritual warfare. And the problems that we see may look with our eyes human, but that's not where the problem is. It's spiritual. What kind of ratio do you want God to show you before you see? You mean your faith is really that shallow and that weak? You can't see that all the problems that you face in your workplace, in your homes, they are spiritual in nature, and it all boils down to your walk with the Lord. Your love for the Lord Jesus Christ is absent. Your ignorance of the Word of God is the cause of all your wrong decisions, all your problems. You can't pray correctly. You can't live correctly. You can't decide correctly. Because you don't know the mind of Christ. It's all here. It's spiritual. And so with 300, the Lord said to him, you go. The Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men, that leopard will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the people go, every man unto his place. Send the rest back. It is all that we need. And next Lord's Day, the message will be the victory. It's spiritual, dearly beloved. It always has, it always will be, because you are now spiritual as children of God. The Lord's battle, it's ours too, and it is always spiritual. And it is every moment of every day of your life. Husband, wife, you quarrel, you can't get along, fix it, it's spiritual. Stop bearing a bad testimony to your children, to your grandchildren, to your friends. Fix it. Remember that the battle is not taking away your salvation. It is to destroy your testimony. And as long as you hold on to sin, you do not want to forgive, you do not want to obey God's word, Satan is winning. And he is laughing at you, he is mocking you, and he is so happy. Because this so-called child of God continues to hold on to sin. Ha ha ha. You want that to happen? Or you want your life to be a blessing and to bring glory to God? Your choice. The battle is always here. As long as you're on this earth, the battle continues. There will be no need to fight the moment you arrive in heaven. Because Satan, sin, death will not be able to penetrate heaven. It will not happen in heaven. But right now, it is very real. Don't lose the fight. Stop losing. It is the Lord's battle. It is ours, because we are his children, and it is spiritual. Pray. The Holy Spirit will help us. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to every heart, O Lord, this morning.
for all of us, needs to forgive, needs to repent of whatever sins that we may have committed against Thee and against one another. May this church, O Lord, be a church where the Lord Jesus Christ will truly be exalted and magnified, and that can be done only when Your children live holy lives. Help us, therefore, in every area of our lives, that we may learn to love one another with the love of Christ, to learn to forgive one another because we have received Your forgiveness in Christ Jesus, that all relationships that You have given to us on this earth may bring glory and honor to Thy holy name, that no area of my life, our lives, will shame You, O Lord, but will glorify Thee, that others, when they see our good works in every area of our lives, they will glorify our Father, who art in heaven. Help us not to be casualties, but help us to be victorious as we fight the battle of the Lord's in these last days. Bless us, protect us, and use us for Thy glory. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.